Hello, it's us. Hi guys.
Hello guys.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a really long time.
Welcome to another episode of
Just Living Life
with BK and Nobu.
Yeah.
We know we've been gone. No need to say it. We know we've been gone, but we are here today. We don't even know if we're back.
In fact, let's not explain ourselves. Let's just move.
Okay, hello guys. This is us and we are here. It's been a minute and I hope wherever you are that you are doing well. Today, we are back to talk about money. Yes, money. Babe, do you want to tell us how we got here?
Yeah, sure. So beginning of last year, when I was starting my reading journey, I read a book by Ramit Sethi called I'll Teach You to Be Rich, right? It was a really great book. I thought it had some great principles. And then recently, last week, I found an interview on YouTube where they were asking him things from the book. And he was saying all of these things that kind of reminded me of a lot of conversation that Nobu and I had been working. I sent a message and like, babe, do you want to record a podcast when you come back and we talk about money? And she was immediately excited about it.
Of course. I mean, who doesn't want to talk about money?
And I think it was mostly because for a long time we've been thinking, we need to get back to recording. We need to get back to recording. And also we've been having a lot of conversations around money and how we do it and how we think it's a good system. At least it's a system that works for us and that might be valuable for other people.
Cool. A good place to start is, what is money to us? What is our value system when it comes to money? Our foundation is in the Bible. These two scriptures accurately describe what our value system when it comes to money is. And the first is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, which says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." And then naturally, the next question then becomes, what covenant is this that he swore to our ancestors? And that takes us to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And they read, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, from your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse whoever curses you. And all the people on the earth should be blessed through you.'" That is our value system. Money is not ours. All the money, all the wealth, be it in terms of, you know, money in dollars or money in terms of wealth and cattle or land, whatever, all belongs to God. And God then decides to use us as his vessels, mm-hmm. through which he channels his blessings to his people. So we are just vessels. We are just stewards. God has entrusted us to, you know, distribute, you know, his wealth to the people around us.
Yeah, I think that's important, not just when it comes to money, but even when it comes to your talents, your capabilities, yep. and all of those things, right? If you are an intelligent person, you are intelligent so that you can empower the people around you. Your intelligence should be valuable, not just to you, but to your community, to your society. Because of that, like Nobu has said, we have a responsibility to other people when it comes to money, right? And this is a responsibility that does not go with favor to any people, right? God has entrusted us to help all people. So whatever need comes to us in whatever way is as much a burden to us, mm-hmm. as it is to the person that it affects, yeah. right?
So we're not doing anyone favors.
Yes. When you give people money and help them out with money, you're not giving them favors. You are the vessel that God has chosen to help. And so that's the perspective. Now, incidentally, because your family is close to you, right? You see them every day, you interact with them. What will likely happen is that you are going to help them the most. You will hear their needs more, or you will see their needs more. And so you will help them a lot. And that's good. They are also a part of the people that are around you. And I strongly believe that if you are somebody who is blessed with means, and then the people around you are not are living subpar lives, right?
Or if there's such a large disparity in terms of where and how comfortable you are as compared to the people around you, to me, that to us, that is a problem. There's a problem there. especially because of our value system, that we are supposed to be channels, right? So if the channel is just holding on to everything, there's a problem. Then there's a mismanagement of, you know, of what we've been entrusted with.
Yeah. And I understand that, you know, we all have a responsibility to work and to generate our own means so that all of us can also help those around us. And so this is not to say that people around you shouldn't then work.
Or that the only way to help them to give them money.
Right?
You know, being a channel doesn't necessarily mean giving them hard cash. It means if there's an opportunity that needs money, but that will help this person gain independence so that they don't have to rely on you and you're in a position to help them get there. Do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Empower them. To make money themselves
that
as well.
That is the word, empower.
And that's also the reason why I said even your talents, your capabilities are also things that God has given you so that you can serve the people around you.
Yep.
Because if you work hard or if you gain knowledge, that knowledge is not for you to keep.
It's to share.
It's to share.
Yep. An important thing in our journey that we've had to be conscious of is BK is 6 years older than me, which means naturally he has lived life ahead of me by 6 years. What does that mean? When we got married, I was still doing my postgrad and all that. I had not, you know, started working. He had been working for years. He had squandered all the money that he had squandered during his bachelor's and whatever. And he had come to a place where he had a financial identity and he was settled in money. And, you know, I, on the other hand, then got into my first job and then only experienced what it's like to, you know, have money that is in your name.
It was made by me.
Made by me, by my power. That is not dependent on someone else, you know, his favor. And what that came with was that there were things that I always wanted to do, you know, all through varsity. There are things that, you know, I used to think, when I have money, I want to do this for my parents. I want to do this for myself, etc. And it was a very important conversation for us to have even before we got married, that, babe, we're going to go into this marriage thing. But there are things that I will not compromise on when I have the money and the means to do them. And I think that's a very important conversation to have, because it's easy for you to get into this bubble where you both expect each other to have the same relationship with money.
Mm-hmm.
But once you understand that you had different levels, be it mentally or however you want to phrase it, it then helps the other person be more understanding and give you room to fulfill the things that you've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think he did that perfectly well, because there's nothing that I feel that I was not able to do because I got married before I started my first job.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with the things that you wanted to do, primarily because a lot of the things that you wanted to do were really good things and they were really noble. And a lot of the things that I did with money when
you
I
squandered
first,
the money. I mean,
when I first started working, were, you know, really frivolous and really, what's the word?
You're careless.
Extravagant, careless things, exactly. Right? So for somebody who's saying they want to do noble things, I didn't have a problem at all.
Yeah.
And this is not to say that if she wanted to do careless things, I would have had a problem. Maybe I would have given her some advice, but I wouldn't have strictly had a problem with that, because I went through that phase. And I think I learned a lot of things through that phase.
I've not felt like I wish I was single so that I would have spent my money this way. I've never for a minute felt that way. And I think I'm blessed to be in that position. So we've spoken about our value system when it comes to money. What informs how we decide how to spend, how to give whatever our money. We have spoken about my journey with money as someone who is younger than you, and your journey with money, and how when we then came together as a couple, we navigated that understanding that we're at different phases. But what does it come down to? How do we actually handle our finances?
Do it practically.
Exactly. What are the practicalities? So this is how we do it. This is what has worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we each have our own bank accounts where, you know, we get paid our salaries into. And then we also have a joint account. So we get paid into our separate accounts, and then we combine our earnings into a joint account. There are distributions, you know, that then come from that joint account. So the first one, you know, everything belongs to God. We tithe. We are firm believers in tithe. We do that religiously. Tithes and offerings. So we give a 10% to tithe, which is the 10% of our gross income, goes to tithe. Then 10% goes to savings. 10% goes to emergency savings. What's the difference between these two? Emergency savings, this is a fund that we're building up. We want to get to a place where we have, you know, saved up to 6 months of our monthly expenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Such that should anything happen, should we have an emergency or should anything happen, or God forbid, should we lose our jobs, we have 6 months to make a plan within which we have a roof over our heads, all our bills are paid, everything is functioning as it would have functioned if we had not lost our jobs. Obviously, without a few luxuries, right?
Of which, in reality, if an eventuality like that were to happen, we would drop our expenses.
Exactly. For example, we'd probably move into a cheaper place. So that 6 months buffer might actually last us longer, because now we know that we're in a tight situation, so we kind of need to adjust the way we live, right? Mm. And then the savings, that's the general savings. We have different goals at different times that we sometimes work towards. And that's usually
primarily that's the money that we use for investing.
Exactly. And then there's also this fund that we started for our children. We also contribute to that one. So after we've taken out 30% of the gross, right, we then have a personal allowance system. It's a very complicated system, but the important part is that I, as the wife, you know, get a larger percentage than the husband does. Why do we have a personal allowance? We have a joint account, so we could always spend as we want, right? But for us, personal allowance is important because we believe that there should still be individuality and independence, even financially, in a marriage, right? I need to have money that belongs to me, that is for me to do with as I please without affecting our financial standing as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for my husband, he loves geeky, techy stuff. So he will buy his, you know, games and all that. That's on him. That is his money to do it as he pleases. I, on the other hand, have a add to cart problem also. I will buy clothes. I'm always adding to cart, and I think the Amazon people know me now. That is also how I choose to use my money, you know.
I also wouldn't want to be in a situation where I have to consult for every single thing that I need to spend on.
Mm.
Or even if we agreed on a threshold and said, if it's below this threshold, you don't have to consult. Still, you know, there's just a feeling that you have if you know that if I make this purchase, she's going to get the notification and think, oh my God, not another game. Right? She may not say it, but you kind of start having some limitations in your mind because you know that she's going to get a notification.
Yeah. So we have that personal allowance that allows us to have some individuality and to, you know, to exercise our financial personalities in whatever way we see fit. And then we also have a very, very important, you know, allocation that we make every month, which is the benevolence fund, right? Mm-hmm. This one is very important to us because of our value system, which we already spoke about. We are mere channels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why we decided to be intentional about contributing monthly is that we saw that the more intentional you are about giving, the more the opportunities come. It's easy to think, no one has asked me for money this month, so I'm all good.
Yeah.
But when there's money in the benevolence fund, and you can see that there's money in the benevolence fund, and you know that you have not finished the hunger of the world and the sickness of the world, then there's a problem, because why is the money in the benevolence fund when there's so many causes it can go to? And that forces you, that conscientizes you of the fact that this is not your money to begin with. It should go where it's supposed to go.
And what Noah is saying is also important for the fact that if you put that money aside into its own fund, when a need arises or something comes to you, you don't feel like that need is encroaching into your own funds.
Exactly.
Right? Because you've already set it aside for helping out.
Yeah. So okay? If you hear that someone so-and-so broke your foot, right? It's no longer, I always break their foot. Now I must dip into my personal. No.
Yeah. It's like there's already a fund
mm-hmm.
that we have prepared for such eventualities.
And so we just think, go there.
So
and freely give.
Contribute to this one. And the thing is, because we've thought around how much we want to give and all of that, when there's nothing in the fund, we can, with a clear conscience, say we don't have anything, because we really don't have anything.
Because we put it aside and it has gone to something already.
Yes, it has gone to something already.
After that, then we have also have a travel fund because we want to travel, obviously. And then from whatever is left, that's when the bills come out. All the bills. Adulting is hard, hey? That's where the bills come out. That's where the takeout comes out. That's where the, you know, date nights and whatever comes out from there.
If there's more month left, more money left at the end of the month, we just add it into the savings.
Exactly. We could go on and on about the model that we've adopted, but I think this is enough.
So given all of these things, you know, there's all of these structures and stuff like that, and it's kind of there to help structure our lives and help us have certain feelings about around money. So given all of this, how do you feel about money now?
I have such a good relationship with money. How do I feel about money? I am comfortable with money. I am not anxious about money. And I think it's a blessing to not be anxious about money. Money is not something that is consciously, at the forefront of my mind, thinking I need to make ends meet. I think I am, and we are blessed to be at a situation where we have healthy savings, so we know that even if the rain is to come down on us right now, we'll be okay for a while. I think I have matured and I've become comfortable and I am settled and I have a good working relationship with money. I love it. It loves me. We are in this romantic relationship and it's going well.
I think for me, the most important thing is I don't want the decisions that I make for my life to be largely influenced by money.
Or the lack of it,
right? I should make considerations. But you see, when you don't have money, you lose certain freedoms, right? And so, like, for example, Nobo always talks about how she would like to spend more time with the kids. And
when we have kids.
Don't
get any ideas how I want to one day be around for my children when those children are around.
Yeah. Which would mean that she has to make certain decisions around her job and things like that. But if money is a big problem and you don't have any savings that you've put aside and stuff like that, you'd be unable, or you'd make that decision with great difficulty because of the money situation. But if you've made the plans to have those funds set aside, you give yourself the freedom to make those decisions, you know, freely without money. Much influence. So money kind of gives you that confidence and that power.
It's power, yes.
It liberates you to do that.
Yeah.
And this doesn't take you to earn a lot of money. From wherever you are, like whatever you're earning, you can try to start there. I know it's different people face different difficulties. But if you try to save up something, whatever amount it is, it starts to give you this freedom.
Yep. I think this was a good chat. And I think to sum it all up, I think it's important to define for yourself, for yourselves as a couple, what money means to you. I think once you define what money means to you, it's easy to then, or it becomes easier to then decide how you use money, how you plan around money, how you spend money. And I think whenever we give homage to the one who enables us, he makes sure that we are always taken care of. And the more we give, the more we receive. I think this has been a good chat. It feels good to be back, given how well and enjoyable this has gone. I think we can now say we are back, and we'll be back with a few more. I wasn't sure at the beginning to make promises, but I think now we can say we're back, and we really hope that you enjoyed this, and see you next time.
Yeah, see you around.
All right.